The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now, this may come as something of a surprise to those of you who know me, but I do not like change. That's right. I don't like change, even and especially changes in worship. That's why when a new hymnal arrives, I'm kind of dreading it. Now, please note, I'm not bragging. I'm not trying to recommend this attitude. I'm just explaining. So, when Lutheran Service Book was first introduced, I really didn't want to use the book. But when I discovered that it had gone backwards to many of the forms that I had grown up with, well, I was absolutely thrilled. That was in stark contrast to what happened to me with Lutheran worship. It first appeared in 1982, and for about the next 25 years, I chafed. I'm ashamed to admit it, I complained. I chafed under those changes, changes in words, form, and music. Especially the Christmas hymns. I never could get over those changes. Nonetheless, there was at least one innovation, and now in LSB it has been extended to the old common service of TLH, an innovation that I liked, a change in the old ways that I embraced. And what makes this even more unusual is that I liked this change because it made me uncomfortable. But this time, not because it was new. So what was that change that I liked? Just this, a brief rubric at the beginning of the service, just prior to the confession of sins. Kneel, stand, silence for reflection on God's word and for self-examination. It doesn't sound like much, but those directions and the few moments of silence that follow force me to remember that I am a sinner. And that's a good thing to recall. Now, people go to church for all kinds of reasons. Oh, chapel too. Sometimes we do just because it's a habit. It's a good habit, but not much more, something that's been ingrained upon us since we were kids. Other times, it's kind of a social thing. We're going to reconnect with our friends, maybe even some family members, find out what's going on, maybe blow off a little steam about our problems in life over coffee and donuts. Well, of course, you don't do that directly in church or chapel, but it comes right after, and I guess we'd all have to admit that it's at least a little awkward to show up for coffee when you haven't gone to church. Not to say that we don't do it from time to time, but nonetheless. Then again, especially here at the SEM, while you hope that the sermon will be good, you know that the music will be good. And so there's kind of an aesthetic appeal to going to chapel, at least. It's something that you can enjoy. Now, I don't think there's anything especially terrible with these reasons, but neither are they particularly good reasons for going to church. However, no matter why you've come in the first place, whether company, habit, music, donuts, that little rubric at the beginning of the divine service that I am now so fond of reminds us of a reason for church going far more basic and fundamental. We go to church because we are sinners. Now, the rubric doesn't say that in so many words. It just urges us to pause for self-examination. And the examples in Jesus' parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector show how some people can use a few moments of silence to to conclude that they're pretty good. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. But others will say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So what is it that leads in one direction rather than another? Now, I'm sure that there's more than a little bit of Pharisee in all of us. But if we are honest, I mean, really honest about ourselves, in the light of God's law, it doesn't take much to uncover our sins. As Luther recommends, consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments. But in point of fact, we don't even need to use all ten. Just take, for example, the Eighth Commandment. Do I have to spell it out? The gossip, the exaggerations, the put-downs, the schadenfreude, the joy at the misfortunes of others. And how about interpreting everything for the worse instead of for the better? Students complain about teachers. Staff members resent bosses. Managers are careless of feelings. And professors, well, professors are resentful of superiors, neglectful of students, and envious of colleagues. And they put it all into words. It all comes out in their words. But what is true of the Eighth Commandment is true of all the rest. Not one of us can escape the indictment of any one of the Ten Commandments. Because the commandments, individually, collectively, reveal the sin that we really are, the sin that is at the center of our being, for it's out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, and all of the rest. Out of the heart. In short, a simple self-examination in the light of God's law teaches me that I need a Savior. Now, for the past few weeks, as we have been considering what the Small Catechism has to say about confession, an important theme has emerged, that those whom the Church has commissioned to forgive sins, namely her pastors, have to go out to sinners, just the way Jesus did in this morning's scripture reading. They can't just sit around and wait for the sinners to show up. Well, perhaps this idea has brought to mind then certain specific activities of pastor, like chasing down delinquents. Or maybe it's made you think of specialized ministries, like going out to convicts and prisoners. Well, that's fine, and that's good. But you know, pastors don't really have to go all that far to find sinners. They're right in front of them. They're right in church. They're right in chapel. A room full of sinners. In fact, many of them, indeed, many of us, I dare say, are right now bothered about their iniquities. Some sort of sin, perhaps committed years ago, maybe just this morning. Some sin that they cannot get over. The law won't let them. Oh, they know that Jesus died for them, but that sin, it continues to plague their conscience. Well, our Lord wants them to hear the gospel. Just like Matthew and his sinner friends, our Lord wants them to know that he has paid for that sin and for every other one, whether it bothers them or not. So if you are one of the troubled this morning, and we've sure been hearing a lot of law, then listen up. Your sin has been paid for. Christ has died for your sin. And if you want, or if you need to hear that again, or if somehow Satan really seems to have you in his grasp and you can't get out of it, then go to your pastor. He's waiting for you. He's looking for you. That's why Jesus sent him in the first place, precisely to tell you that your sin is gone, no matter how big, no matter how terrible, no matter how small. It's gone. It's forgiven in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.